Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning, Southern Utah, and welcome to your first and only Elder Care Radio program. We're a fully owned and operated, family owned and operated, licensed, accredited with the ACHC hospice and palliative care provider. And we're certified by Medicare and Medicaid.
And let's expand on that and explain what that means. That means that as part of our certification process, we had to develop a plan and prove to Medicare and Medicaid's surveyors that we could provide their minimum standards of care, which included doctor services, nursing care, medical equipment, medical supplies, that we had contracts with prescription companies and all those minimum standards. But in addition to that, we went above and beyond. We got our accreditation through Accreditation Commission on Healthcare. Surveyors came out and verified that not only could we do the minimum standards in a way that exceeded Medicare and Medicare's expectations, but that we also provide more services. Everybody in this town can say that. And we thought that that was important for you to understand. We did have to file and record who our core employees would be, all those licensees. So it's important that you know that, yes, we are fully Medicare, Medicaid approved, but in addition to that, we are also accredited by Accreditation Commission on Healthcare. And that's a plus that we're proud of.
It really is, because, again, there are many other companies that haven't accomplished what we've accomplished so far. So today, we really want to talk about COVID-19. as we've all kind of gotten seated in this pandemic that we've got, and we're dealing with so much media news about it. It's surprising how important this is. This is the lead for every news program. You know, entire hours are dedicated to talking about COVID, and yet the information that we get doesn't seem to change a lot. The important
let's just say that this week we, many of us, Richard and I included, had to send kids back to school, and there was a lot of anxiety over that. We seem to hear in the media a lot about the death rate, and I need to just put out a disclaimer that says even one death rate is one death too many. We are certainly not suggesting that the death rates aren't important, but we really think it's important as an elder care radio program that we really decipher that and explain, break that down and explain that if there's a death rate, that there's also a recovery rate, right? And that's important, I feel like, with all the anxieties. And you have to understand, there are a lot of people that are suffering medically outside of coronavirus, but with diseases and illnesses that stem from the panic and fear that this pandemic has instilled in us. So instead of having, you know, an anxiety attack, let's try and focus on that which is good, which is the recovery rate. So Richard,
here's an interesting article, and I'm just going to read one paragraph out of it. It says scientists and researchers are constantly tracking infection recoveries, but they have data only on confirmed cases, so they can't count people who don't get COVID-19 tests. Experts also don't have information about the outcome of every infection. However, and this is an important statement, early estimates predict that the overall COVID-19 recovery rate is between 97% and 99.75%.
Okay, so let me explain. So as we were preparing for this and seeing how many friends of ours and patients and caregivers were literally having anxiety attacks over the death rate, we thought maybe we could look into the recovery rate, see if we could give something positive to focus on in such a negative thing such as coronavirus, the pandemic that we're all living amongst. Let me also say that we are not suggesting that you should not wear your masks. We still believe that we should follow the protocol and, what has been advised by the CDC, the World Health Organization, our state health organization. We certainly aren't saying that. What we're trying to say is let's have a little less anxiety in our life. Let's focus on recovery rates. So I literally Google searched, and I would encourage all of you to do this so that you can see the information that we are giving to you for yourself. I Googled recovery rate of coronavirus. The first website that came up and where Richard just read from was WebMD. The second two that came up that supported the same information but said it with a little more difficulty to decipher because it uses graphs and numbers instead of percentages was the World Health Organization and the CDC, or Centers for Disease Control. So that is where they're getting their death rate information from, but it's also where we got our recovery rate information from. And I just feel strongly that we should be focusing on the recovery rate to take away a little of the pinch of the anxiety that we're all feeling. We should be living our best, fullest, most quality of life instead of living in a life of fear. And while we do need to be realistic about the fears, we also need to bring into our lives the reality that most people, based on these percentages, most people recover. So let me read the first opening paragraph on WebMD. Well, here, Richard, you have
Say this again. It's important that we consider social distancing, that we use masks when we can't social distance, that above all, we use good hand hygiene, wash your hands often. But what we have to remember is that the recommendations that are given assuming that somebody does have COVID-19 in our presence. If we use good hand hygiene, we social distance, and we wear masks around people who are infected, then our possibility of infection is almost nil. Now, for the state of Utah, the infection rate right now is very low. The in southern Utah, Iron County and Washington County, it's less than 10 people. And so those are the people that have the potential of infecting you. And so, again, follow CDC guidelines, but don't let that change your entire life and make you believe that you can't see people from down the street or that you need to wear a mask while walking outside alone. Those are things that are just going to create anxiety, and we want to reduce that in our society.
And if we're reducing anxiety, just let me reiterate, if we're giving our part to reduce anxiety, then we will all be willing to wear our masks and social distance and do all that we can. For those people who have the anxiety, let's just try and take some of their fears away and move forward in a positive direction. But I did want to read this opening paragraph issued by WebMD. Again, Google for yourself, recovery rate of coronavirus. It says, most people who get COVID-19, the disease caused by coronavirus called SARS-CoV-2, will have only mild illness. But what exactly does that mean? Mild COVID-19 cases still can make you feel lousy, but you should be able to rest at home and recover fully without a trip to the hospital. Here's what to expect and how to take care of yourself. And then it goes into the coronavirus rates, and it says, for symptom management, you shouldn't have to take anything more than an acetaminophen and quarantine yourself at home for 2 weeks. So if we look at the focus more on the recovery rate, and every time we hear a death rate, we say, okay, if there's a death rate, there has to be a recovery rate. Maybe that'll help us navigate through the anxiety a little bit better.
So if we're looking at why this is such a hot topic, I'm going to take an uncomfortable stand here. On the radio, I'm not a media person, but I do know that the media enjoys fear because fear motivates people to stay engaged. When everything's going okay, then there's really no reason to need to listen to the news. But if they can start off with getting people fearful of COVID, going back to school and all the outbreaks that are going to happen, and everybody's listening to the news regularly, then that certainly helps them. If we consider the reality that we haven't gotten anything new for quite a while, then we don't necessarily have to consider that has to be the priority issue for us to continually feed on that stream of information since nothing new is coming out of it.
Okay, last comment on this, and then we'll move on to deciphering and breaking out palliative and understanding the information that is out there a little bit clearer. Again, as your only elder care radio resource, we're inviting everyone to call us with any of your questions or concerns, any information that you need or resources that you are looking for. We can make them available for you and do that research and work for you. And our telephone number is 435-477-6999. Again, it's 435-477-6999. Our website is pathwayhospicecare.com. Please feel free and welcome to give us a call at any time. We really love your calls. And it's actually your calls that bring up the information that we talk about each week. And with all the anxiety that caregivers were having, we actually had a few calls, questions about if my family member is on hospice, should we keep our kids home instead of going to school? And while we can't answer those questions for you,
the civil authorities have issued a local area emergency for Coconino AZ, beginning at 8:45 a.m. and ending at 11:45 a.m. 911 services have been restored to the Forest Lakes area. Call 911 if you need to report emergency.
Move forward and focus on positive. Let's remember that the recovery rate is between 97% and 99.75%, which really means that even children that contract it, elderly, and most immune compromised will also recover. Most will recover. So great for the world, for our country. We've got to a point that while we can't eliminate the coronavirus, we're able to help most people recover. Okay, so.
Well, let me just make one more point here, because you brought this up and said it, and I came to this realization. The numbers we're talking about are the number that are tested and then the number that pass away. And certainly every death is recorded. However, infections are not all recorded, just those that are tested. And so if our infection rate is our recovery rate is between 97% and 99.75% of those that are tested. And we've all heard the news that there are thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or even millions of people who have been infected that were never tested. That really reduces these numbers. Andy, I'm a numbers guy, so
well,
you know.
Wait, let me interject. So also remember that many people, since the illness is often mild to most people. Healthy people will pass it with, you know, mild to no symptoms. That means that not everyone who catches COVID will even notice symptoms. So why would they get tested? If you do get them, they may show up to 2 to 14 days after the infection. And those symptoms can vary from one person to another, but they generally tend to be very mild symptoms. So many people haven't been tested and therefore don't show in those numbers, but they would show on the recovery percentage, which would actually increase the recovery rate.
So those percentages are going to be a lot different. If half of the people, if half the people who received, who were infected with COVID didn't ever get tested, then our numbers change. Andy, what if half of the people have never been tested, but they recovered, and we're only counting those who were tested that recovered, and we are at a 3% death rate or a 97% recovery rate, we double that number of recoveries and we cut in half the number of deaths, right?
Yeah, well, it's even bigger than that. I mean, the death rate for, if you take the entire population of the United States, is like 0.0039%, which is, what, 39 out of 100,000?
Right.
So the numbers are pretty small, for
and,
sure.
And certainly if we were to put, you know, list all the things that cause death in this country, COVID-19 would not be very high on that list.
Right. And, you know, I mean, you guys know better than anybody because you run a hospice and palliative care program that you're not dealing with those, you know, people that have COVID-19. You're dealing with the big ones, cancer and heart disease and things like that.
Right.
And then there are those that take people tragically immediately, automobile accidents and all kinds of other things that happen in our lives that people are going to pass away.
But we're not talking about death rate. We don't want to talk about the negative. We want to talk about the positive.
So the recovery rate is going to be significantly, significantly higher than these numbers that we're talking about.
Right.
So in essence, just remember, most people will recover with very few symptoms. Most. I said most. I recognize that not all will, but most will. Let's try not to have the anxiety attacks and focus so much on the things that bring us down and make us feel scared. Let's try looking at it a different way. Let's look at recovery rates. So the next thing that we really think that we should spend some time on and expand on, we didn't finish last week talking about exactly what palliative care means. We've talked about it a multitude of times, and yet still I get so many calls during the week on, you know, how palliative care can help somebody's loved one. So let me share just a quick little story again. When my mother was sick and diagnosed with terminal cancer, we brought her home with us to enjoy the benefits of hospice. At that time, we didn't really understand hospice or how it worked, but we were surprised to find the multitude of benefits that were presented to us. So much was just given that we realized at that time, wow, anybody who doesn't understand hospice should understand hospice, should realize that you shouldn't fear it. You shouldn't be afraid of getting onto it. We pay into this benefit from the time we start working as 15 and 16-year-olds, so you should take advantage of it for as long as you can and get the most out of it. Your doctor services are covered, all these things at 100%. Your nurses are covered. They come to your door, your home. Medical equipment, medical supplies, prescription drugs, hospice aides and homemakers, if you need physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. We even send social workers, spiritual counselors, chaplains. Boy, just anything that you need is covered under hospice. For palliative care, that's where we really shine because that's what we do different. I can't just list. We do massage therapy, pet therapy. I mean, I can give you some of them, but we actually come into your home and we find out what is it that you have as a goal. What do you want to accomplish while you're still on this earth? Let's find those bucket list items for not only the patient, but the caregiver. So at the time that a patient does pass, and let's remember, we all pass eventually, right? But at the time that they pass, there's no regrets left. We've all said what needs to be said. We enjoyed the time we had to enjoy. We created new memories so that our loved ones can pass without any regret remaining.
So that we can find those good times in the hard times. If all we do is put our nose to the grindstone and are just plodding along and don't have time to accomplish anything in this really hard time, then in the end, all we've done is been miserable. But if we are given an opportunity, Pathway's been given an opportunity to come in and provide some care and support to relieve the caregiver of some of the responsibilities, to help them deal with their circumstances, and to give them a little bit of relief so that they can then take a step back and look at the situation and find positive events in that and memory-making things, then that makes a huge difference for everybody.
Right. Some things that make us different, again, is we do have a palliative care team that comes into your home, and we don't ask things like, what can we do for you? That's an overwhelming question when you're dealing with a critical illness. People can't really digest, well, I don't know, take care of my loved one. I mean, that's about the best they can give you. But we come in and we ask sincere questions like, how can we help you live well? And this is a whole life question, not just a medical condition question, but how can we help you live well? Can we eliminate some of the stresses that your loved one has by sending in homemakers to help clean your home or to help with meal preparation? Or, as we've explained in the past, teach your loved one to cook meals so that he's not left alone with an inability to function when you're gone.
Right. You said this is a whole life question, and it really is. You know, we have a medical part of our life, and that's all covered. We're in hospice. We're going to cover that completely so that your medical care is taken care of. But that's not all we are. We're not just a medical condition. We are a family member. And so being able to help you be a better part of that family and have the family be a better part of your life experience is going to be an important part. You're an individual who has concerns, whether they're social concerns, you know, just, you know, what still needs to be done in my life at this time. If we can help you deal with those things, and that relieves a lot of stress. But you may have some spiritual concerns too about what happens next. We want to help you follow whatever path you've chosen to help you deal with those circumstances, because this is hard for people. But if we look at the whole life and say, okay, so where are the issues that we can address above and beyond just you as a medical condition, then we're going to be able to accomplish great things.
Do I dare to say that this can actually be a beautiful time? What we find most often is we come into the home and we're asking about what we can do to help you live better, your best life, and enjoy your best experiences. And the patient's answers will always be, help my loved one, help my caregiver, you know, lighten their burden. I don't want to be a burden on them. And the caregivers are always, focus 100% on our loved one. Take care of my dad, my mother, my brother, my sister. Make sure that all their needs are met. What a beautiful, tender time it is where our needs are put behind those of our loved ones. So as long as you have the support to help you navigate through those questions and feel, again, once again, a little less fearful about the medication administration and where's the money going to come from and will I be left with a bill and how do I, you know, take care of all these issues that need to be taken care of, that's where we step in and we say, let us take those burdens. We'll coordinate the care. We'll help you accomplish, you know, get to whatever appointments you have to get to or have people come into your home to help you. We just make your life a little better with less burden and less anxiety.
So we really want to impress upon people that these are all decisions that people get to make. They get to choose. Hospice is all about choice. Palliative care is a great additional service that you get to choose to take advantage of and get to choose how that service is provided to you. But if you don't know that there's choice, if you're just given a prescriptive process that may not apply to you at all, then it is not going to be effective. And that's where we've always tried to differentiate. We know that in many cases, when, from my wife's own experience with her dad, that when her dad went on hospice, there was just somebody who decided that they're going to provide a schedule of events that fit the convenience of the hospice company, and they provided a schedule of drugs that addressed a single theoretical component of his medical condition. And then that was about it. And we didn't have the opportunity to be involved in making the change or to even start the process to where it would meet our goals and our hopes for her dad.
One more thing that makes us different. We allow the family to be an integral part of that plan of care. We encourage it. We require it. You will get to make your decisions and your choice. So let us help make this time especially meaningful for you. Give us a call at Pathway Hospice Care, 477-699-4777. Did I say that wrong? I said
477-6999. Thank you for listening today, and we'll be back next week.
477-6999. Thank you.